Sunday Brunch with Triple M Breakfast's Marto and Margo.
Marto, we talk a lot of rugby league, so I thought I'd bring the attention back and let's talk a little about AFL. Oh, no, not well the Lions.
How
we know
the
they're
Lions
flying.
Going,
no, boring. Yeah. They're winning. It's no fun in that.
Well,
you know what there's fun in, though?
What?
A little old town called Wagunya.
Sport has a way of bringing community together. And for this small Victorian town, that could not be more true. Residents are rallying around the local footy team, which was annihilated by more than 400 points at the weekend's match.
They lost by more than 400.
They lost by 431.
I think the word annihilated is...
431 points they lost by.
Four quarters, they got 100-0 dusting every quarter.
Yeah, they were playing the top-of-the-table team and they were short a few players. COVID's been not kind.
Wagunya had around 25 players missing due to COVID-19 and so had to rely on volunteers and reserve players to field a team.
Good Lord.
Hey, Barry, put your broom down. Can you kick a footy?
Did they? Oldest player?
25 players from the team. Yeah, that's pretty much the whole squad is out.
But 400 points, that means no one did anything.
That's embarrassing.
Nothing.
Some wheelchairs out there.
Oh, they look.
Can you imagine a poor old goal umpire just, oh, my arms are rooted. I've had enough of these flags.
What about all the blokes that be sitting around normally watching the footy going, yeah, I'll have a crack. It should be easy. I used to kick a ball back in my day. No, they were pretty good sports about it.
You could say it was an experience to be on the other end of a score like that, but look. We knew it we were getting up against. We knew it was coming.
We knew it was going to be a tough slog. Been asked the question if we knew the scoreline was going to be what it is, would we do it again? Well, honestly, if the player group said they wanted to do it again, we'd do it again.
We'd do it again?
Do it again.
What? I don't think the club wants you to do it again,
Hold on.
I think
supposed
once
to learn
is enough.
From losing? Like, you're supposed to learn from a loss. They have learned nothing.
Well, they're going to learn a lot from this loss, or maybe not, because the club president, well, he's, of course, very proud.
The club president says the pandemic has been tough on everyone involved in the club. He says he's proud of his players' efforts.
What's he proud of? They didn't get 500 put on him.
Proud of their efforts. He's starting to sound like Kevvy Walters after a loss. It's not about wins and losses. It's just about getting better.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Serving up Sunday brunch.
In case you were thinking we were still stuck in the pandemic, I can say it is officially over. I was at the supermarket yesterday, Arvo. Everyone's pretty close these days. It's all been forgotten, the social distancing, hasn't it? Have you noticed that? Everyone's squeezed up nice and tight. That's fine. I've had COVID. I don't care. But what I did...
you can get it again.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
Don't ruin his story.
3 hours of sneezing.
Sorry.
Ooh, COVID. I say that my wife had COVID
for 12 days
in bed, 19 days cooked. But what I did notice was a very sloppy habit has returned. And I'm not just talking about closing up the 1.5 metres.
Sneezing without covering your mouth or coughing into your elbow.
Didn't see anything.
Washing hands.
Haven't seen anyone.
Washing your hands. People picking their noses and eating it.
All of those are probably occurring, but I didn't notice them. Squeezing avocados. Now, listen.
Not too hard. You'll bruise them.
Well, they won't bruise them because they are prodding and poking.
Is it
the most touched item at a supermarket, the avocado?
The poor old
avocado.
Yeah.
It gets picked, it gets thrown in a truck. If you were an avocado, you go, now what? Now what? All these people just grabbing and groping you.
Well, it's the one thing you got to test to see how ripe it is, because I've had avocados sitting in the fruit bowl for about 2 weeks now. Mm. Even my bananas went brown before my avocados ripened.
Is that true, that story? You throw bananas with things that ripens anything?
Apparently.
Yeah, right.
Well, apparently my avocados ripened bananas because they went brown in like a day.
Did you touch them?
You know where the little knobbly bit is at the top and the avocado comes into a point?
Yeah.
You push the top of that, and if it's a little bit soft, it's good to go. Yeah, that's where you press.
Oh, God, because I said to Kath, I think I've come up with one of two products, if you just take... no one touches potato. Well, you either have...
But you don't have to check whether potatoes are ripe. Potatoes are potatoes. You just put them in the bag.
Yeah, but you're still touching
them.
And your finger in apples. I saw people touching apples.
Kiwi fruits.
Yeah. Of course they do.
Because you've got to squeeze them to see if they're soft.
There's one of two options. Take this one. Is if you want to touch any fruit and vegetables, you're going to have to put on some gloves.
Or you could just buy vegetable wash.
What's vegetable wash?
Well, that's what you wash your vegetables in when you get home. All the chemicals off.
What? Is there an actual
wash?
Someone's making money. Well, just wash them underwater. No, here's my idea that I've never heard anyone else. I'm sure there are probably fruit and vegetable gloves somewhere. But a pair of tongs, so you don't have to touch them.
The tongs will bruise them.
No, but they've got pressure gauge on them, so you can actually No one. Who's going to invent that? There'd be a spring and it'd tell you the PSI. Yeah, but now somebody's going to make like $12 off that.
Or you just take, you know, the plastic bag that you rip off to put all your fruit and veg in, put your hand in it and squeeze the avocados with your hand in the bag and then pick up the one you want, turn it inside out.
Oh, like a
dog
skill
poo.
Tester.
Oh. You know when you pick up a dog poo and you put your hand into the bag, pick up the poo and then turn it inside out?
Oh, my God. Sorted.
Done. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Not going with the PSI tongs? Mm. Gee, it sounds like a great idea.
No, that was
Let's
too
wait
hard.
For them to be invented, but in the meantime.
Get your hands off the avos, you bastard.
This is Triple M's Sunday Brunch with Marto and Margot.
Marto, do you ever have one of those moments where you go, WTF?
Oh, yeah, regularly.
Do you know what that stands for?
Yeah, what the hell?
What the hell? Well, I had a moment of that yesterday because I had to fuel up the car and I thought fuel prices had calmed down. What happened to the fuel excise? Well, that doesn't exist because yesterday I was standing there pumping away.
Are you petrol or diesel?
Petrol. I've just moved over to petrol.
So it's 20 cents cheaper, I think, because of the excise at the moment. Yeah. So, take 20.
Should be $1.70 or something. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking around. I'm at the pump. I've got the nozzle in and I'm just standing there, you know, like I face the car and I look at the back. I see who's driving in.
Oh, hold on. This is interesting.
Pump on the right-hand side, so driver's side.
Yeah.
And I stand looking at...
Across the roof of the car.
Roof of the car. I look at other people coming in, check out the tradies, see who's coming in and out of the shop, you know, like...
What are you,
you know,
looking
just
for?
Just looking around. No, what are you looking for? Yeah. Well, what I should have been looking at was the bloody petrol bowser because I turned around at one point and I went, gee, that bottom number looks really low compared to the top number.
Because
you know, sometimes it's normally, you know,
it
like...
It should be double.
Or a couple of cents behind.
It used to be the same.
70 litres equals $75.
Remember when it was $70?
I turned around, Marto, it was like 20 litres and it was like $80. And I was like, what the hell? What is going on here? $2.41.
Bloody hell.
You idiot, Margot.
Hold on. No, don't idiot yourself. Are you telling me yesterday?
$2.41, okay. Well, the only options at the Bowser was 91. There was no 95. It was E10, 91, 98. So I always go 95 or 98, depending on the price. And my dad always taught me growing up, 98, put the best petrol in your car. It burns more efficiently.
That's right.
You'll have to fill it up less, blah, blah, blah.
Smart man.
So I just always go 98. Until I realised that 98 was $2.41. I don't know if this was an anomaly.
No, I'm seeing one here. I've got a petrol spy up. Look at that.
$2.41. I'm like, am I living in Ascot or Clayfield? No, I'm in Logan. What is going on here?
Newstead, $2.38. Oh, my God. Bowen Hills, $2.38. You're right.
$2.41 I paid yesterday for fuel.
But some people still got it at $1.75.
To put in my car, it cost me $220. I nearly fell over when I went to pay. The lady goes, oh, geez, that hurts. And I'm like, doesn't it?
Did she say that?
She said that to me.
She'd be saying that all day.
She said.
As you hand over your money.
As I hand over my money and tap my card, she goes, oh, that hurts. And I'm like, oh, my God, doesn't it? And she said, you wouldn't want to be doing that too often. And I said, well, with the amount of driving around I do with my kids, I'm doing it every 5 days. She said, oh, I'd be getting a new car if I were you. I'm like, this is a new car. She said, I'd be selling it. I said, I think I might have to. I can't afford to keep it anymore.
Oh, Triple M.
Hungover? Planning a sickie tomorrow? Pass the time with Sunday Brunch with Marto and Margot.
Margot, remember yesterday we were talking to, and I can't even remember who it was, worked at the Ampol Refinery.
He rang in to play Last Person Standing on his way to work.
We said, that's interesting, and we asked him, do you get any perks? We thought maybe you'd get...
Free petrol?
Or a few cents off per litre. They'd have a bowser on your way out each day, just fill her up. No.
No
perks.
Nice. Petrol gouging even for employees.
And then when I think we went to a song after that, you and I were talking about, you were saying you had a friend whose husband worked at the 4X Brewery.
He works for 4X. They get 3 cartons a month, I'm led to believe, and then he also has one of those taps, like a beer tap at his house, and he gets the kegs.
Oh, he gets the keg as well.
At a discounted rate. Oh, not free, but...
I love a perk.
It's really, really... Well, the reason I've... First went back to work after I had a baby. I worked in. I really loved this one particular clothing store. I used to love to buy a lot of clothes. Yeah. And I said to the girl, do you guys get a good discount working here? She said, yeah, 40%. So I applied for a job and worked as a casual just so I could get
the clothes.
40% off the clothes.
That's magnificent.
It was an incredible work
There's
perk.
A few perks we get around here, like
we get tickets
occasionally.
I can't get tickets to Magic Round, can you?
There's not many around. But it made me think about, because I told you about my old man who worked for 36 years at the Golden Circle Cannery. They had a little factory outlet there. where you could, you know, any employees on their way out the door in the arvo could go and front up with some money and grab some cans. They were normally just slightly dinged or the label had fallen off, whatever.
Corey's mum used to work at the Paul's factory. Same thing. Yeah. Noel from Mount Cotton, 133353. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate. Where do you work? Are there any perks there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I work for a company that grows the chickens for golden cockerel.
Oh, my God. You'd just be up to your armpits in chickens, wouldn't you?
The bachelor's handbag
how many do you get? A couple a week?
Mate, we get 2 marinated chickens a year.
What?
Whoa. Gotta really stretch it out there.
Big time. Biannual chicken delivery.
And even then, they're not plucked properly.
I was going to say, do they come whole?
Three feathers.
There's nothing worse than having to pluck
them. We just save the feathers and put them in our pillows.
Where are you? You're down Mount Cotton Way? Is it a farm?
Mount Cotton, mate. I look after about 68 100-metre sheds.
Each farm
holds about 200. Each farm holds about 220,000 birds.
Hold on.
So you guys rear hen, like you have hens that lay eggs and then you actually let the eggs crack and have little baby chicks?
No, they're broilers. They grow them and they end up on your dinner plate.
What do you mean?
Noel, is that 14 million chickens approximately?
Probably.
Yeah.
What's a broiler?
A broiler is a chicken that you grow for 8 weeks and then it ends up on your dinner plate in Woolworths.
2 chickens a year. Mm. Peter from Bly Bly.
Marinated too.
Where do you work?
Currently I'm working at a containers for change site, but I used to be a butler in Europe for about 28 years.
A butler? What, in a big fancy rich mansion?
Many fancy rich mansions, yeah. Stevie Wonder, Elton John, King of Spain.
Oh my gosh.
Right there, Peter. Okay, let's go through.
The King of Spain?
Yeah.
Is
that King Gustav?
No. Carlos.
King Carlos.
Carlos.
Wrong king.
Yeah, the one that advocated for doing nasty crap.
Surely, as a butler, you're so deep into the operation. Was there perks?
Oh yeah, I was just telling them. I used to work for Jacques Villeneuve, so I used to get for the Formula One for free.
He was a Formula One driver, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I used to massage Danny because that was his fiance at the time. That was a pretty good perk.
Massage his what?
Danny Minogue, that was his fiance.
Oh my gosh. There's a perk.
What, like a back rub?
She's not very big. It wouldn't have taken long.
You've got to take your time, don't you? Make sure you get everywhere.
Of course.
Thorough job.
Peter, we may ring you back greatest career transitions I've ever seen. A butler to containers for change.
This is Triple M's Sunday Brunch with Marto and Margot.
All right, everyone okay? Everyone with it?
Yeah,
I was fragile when I got here this morning.
Good on you, Marto. Looking after everyone at the Legends lunch.
Yeah, God, that was a great arvo.
It was a great afternoon.
Now, I know we couldn't record anything in the room. There was no cameras. Like, we didn't even have any cameras. I think there was one photo taken when everyone sat down, then they bug it off.
Can we say that we made everyone do a...
No, you can't say anything. Mm. Nothing that went on inside.
We made them put their phones into an...
Yeah.
Everyone knows what happened in the 2001 third game when Alan Langer came back from England. But the way Wayne Bennett was telling parts of that story, when Alfie cried... What about when Wendell got up?
No, you can't. Marto.
I'm not telling details. I'm just general.
No, please don't. Don't ruin it for everyone for next year. Because if you do that, then we'll have to re-look at the event altogether and go, oh, well, people are saying, because what goes on inside stays there.
Jeez, you know who got serious? Oh, God, what am I supposed to say? Here you go.
How about you tell everybody what happened in the what do you call it? The dozer.
Oh, there was in that smoking area. There was some loose unit.
Yeah, you can talk about that.
Anyway.
I was sat next to you at our table at one point and he was all clean cut and working and scribbling notes and then next minute he's standing up the back stinking like rum and smokes. I'm like, where have you been? He goes, in the dozer.
I had 2 rums double parked because they were, there you go, mate. Everyone was just I was buying him one. It was responsible drinking at its finest.
You said to me, do we have to do anything else? I said, yeah, we have to wrap up and say goodbye. You're like, you're good to do that, aren't you?
Oh, just saying goodbye, thanks very much.
I don't think we did anyway.
No one did it.
Wendell Saylor ended up closing the afternoon for us.
He certainly did.
Can I do this? Yeah. Late in the afternoon, I just said, geez, I should get some recordings. I did get a couple. These are a few of our... God, I met a lot of new friends. I got so many best friends. And yeah, I said to you this afternoon, I bet you someone headlocks me. Yeah, I had my head in some bloke's arm and he was rubbing me head.
Wasn't everybody so happy to get their phones back after 3 or 4 hours?
My God.
Once they did get their phones back, they were selfieing and getting photos and everyone checking on their kids.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good. These guys were so happy with all the speakers and the entertainment was top shelf.
How was it? The lunch.
It was good.
Corey.
Sensational.
James Graham.
Mate, if you can't beat him, bite him.
Comedian Brett Blake.
Best mullet on ground. Jeez, he was funny. Gers, mate, best looking retired centre in the game.
Wendell. Wendell's got those.
Oh, closely followed by Wendell.
Some bloke in the background wanted his T-shirts. And this was Hope and Ruggie. What a lovely pair they
were. Oh, Hope. I met Hope. Yeah, she
beauty.
Was so lovely.
Call me Rug.
Excellent, mate. Great. Awesome. Love him. Wendell. Oh, the Dell.
What do we do about Wendell's overconfidence problem?
That's well and truly cemented.
So top day?
Top day.
Great day.
Will you ever tell anyone anything?
Oh, look, it was honest and innocent and there was nothing. Yep, nothing to tell them.
Beautiful.
I'll see you next year.
Michael, I met at our table. Oh, Shane, yeah. Crawley, Kerry, Brad, Wayne, everybody that I met yesterday. Anyway, you were all wonderful. Oh. Everybody was so kind except for the one guy who kept talking about my boobs. I'm like, come on, mate.
Oh, no, I can't talk about it.
No, I can't talk about it.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
You know, the election campaign still rolls on and on. I think it's into its fifth week. Only another 2 weeks until we have to vote, thank goodness.
Early voting starts today, Marto.
Oh, that's what I like to do. Mm. Yes, have your own sausages at home.
You can vote by phone. Like, there's so many different ways you can do it these days.
I'll let you all sort that out because last night, of course, it was the Great Debate Part 2. And you'd think, righto, this is the main thing where you get our leaders, Albo versus ScoMo, and get their ideas and distill them all yourself and work out who you want, who you'd rather. So Channel 9 put it on at the viewer-friendly time of 8:45 on a Sunday night, which all 17 people who watched, I believe, had a great time.
Ratings bonanza.
Is it more important than Lego Masters? No, let's put it on after Lego Masters. Jeez. Anyway, when it apparently happened, I didn't wait up. I played some of it this morning and went, what a waste of time. They yelled at each other. It was a slanging match and you couldn't hear a thing.
Transmission
because
is
then they have to recover that from the consumers.
Transmission is an investment, Scott.
Yes, I know.
For the same reason.
From the consumers.
For the same reason, Scott.
They pay the electricity prices.
So awful.
I know. So awful. Two, and let's not forget, a Cronulla bloke versus a South Sydney bloke. I hate both of them already. And then you tell me this morning they both have cavoodle. So what we're voting against...
Buddy and Toto.
You even know their name? They're two white, old, grey-haired, glasses-wearing Sydney blokes with cavoodles. That's our option for Australia, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I was watching, I think, Channel 7 because Kath was watching The Voice, and I think we have a new candidate, and we do need someone from a different state that's never been Prime Minister before. We need a female to run our country.
Anastasia Palaszczuk? She's...
No.
Gladys Berejiklian?
No, not Gladys. No.
What about Grace Grace? That'd be a fun name to have as a Prime Minister.
Someone from one of the little states, and you think somebody who's maybe got a slight disability so they'd have a feel? Like someone like this.
The winner of this year's Big Brother is Reggie.
Hey, Big Brother, it's just little old me from Tassie.
Hey, what do you reckon? If I said to you Reggie Bird, and anyone under the 30 probably doesn't know who the hell she's won, Big Brother, and then she had a fish and chip shop like Pauline down in Tassie.
And then her marriage went bust, she's going blind,
exactly.
And now she's gone back to Big Brother. And I mean, that's the story of a battler.
And I don't want these people using debating and using big words. I want people who completely trash the English language and can't pronounce words.
Since my time on Big Brother, got diagnosed of going blind. I've now lost all my peripheral vision.
My peripheral. I love that.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Catch them weekdays from 5:30.
Marto laying in bed with the kids the other morning and we had a really cute moment. We had a bit of a giggle. One of the kids jumped into bed to tell a story and just couldn't quite get their mouth around one of the words, which is specific. Can be difficult, especially when you're six, Marto.
A lot of people put the S after the P, don't they?
Well, we tried to figure
it's
out.
An ocean.
Yes, how to say it.
How do you say specific?
Perfect.
thick is. I'm trying to say it, but it's like specific. I can't say it. Specific. Oh, I got it.
River?
Specific.
Specific. Show me, Jagger.
Is it specific?
No. Specific.
Specific.
That's it.
Specific.
Oh, that's
so cute.
Funny.
We were in bed probably for about 10 or 15 minutes, and I'm like, I've got to record this. It's the cutest thing ever when kids can't say words. You know, it's like ambulance. You know, they don't pronounce the U, or biscotti. There's lots of different ones, and it's so cute.
And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, of course. Their mother, not an expert at the English language, do you remember?
I probably, as a reviewer, should throw in cinema photography. Pyongyang.
You're good at geography too.
Pyongyang. What is it?
Pyongyang.
I still can't say ventriloquist. How do you say that one?
Well, did you
record
that?
You know, with the man and the puppet?
Ventriloquist.
Ah, see, it's tricky, isn't it? Plethora of sports stars. Right, isn't it? Plethora.
Plethora. Go ventriloquist again.
Ventriloquist.
Oh, God. What are you?
I never get algebra. That one.
Or English.
Algebra. Geniusness. I remember that day.
You're a classic.
This is Triple M Breakfast. Marto and Margo.
Surprisingly, Martha's just got an A- in her English exam. I don't know how.
I'd like to see
she
the other kids.
She must have swapped sheets.
Sunday Brunch with Triple M Breakfast's Marto and Margo.
Had a bit of a turnaround yesterday afternoon talking NRL. The Sharks played the Warriors late yesterday, but I thought I'll turn that on Mother's Day. You know, that's what
you do on Mother's Day. Watch the footy.
Kath was watching some Netflix thing and everyone was leaving
she
her
was
alone.
Happy.
So I went, I'll sneak around the corner and off you go.
Impressive, the Sharks, yeah?
Impressive. Oh, my God. I now love the Sharks.
Oh, they're your team. You and ScoMo.
Now Gallen's buggered off. I can actually watch the Sharks with a clear slate, and I love Nico Hines.
Yeah, Nico Hines.
And what he's brought to the team, Matt Moore. They won, all right, first team in 14 years that won with 12 men.
Oh,
they
right.
got, yeah, they,
how
that,
come?
That speedy little fullback, Will Kennedy, he got sent off in the 17th minute. So they played 63 minutes, and you went, uh-oh. Yeah, you go, oh, here you go, the floodgates are about to open.
Ooh.
But the Warriors were dumb. Stupid, just didn't. They were throwing cutout passes. If anyone knows anything about any sort of footy, it's a mathematical equation. You're always trying to get one person spare at the end. You don't do that when you've already got a one person overlap, 13 versus 12. You just work quietly towards that aim, build up pressure, and then bang, you've got a man scores untouched. That's the whole basis of rugby league and rugby union, to tell you the truth, but not the Warriors. At one stage, the Sharks were down to 11 men for 10 minutes when Jesse Ramian got a fair dinkum, 11 against 13, and the Warriors couldn't score. Mm. It was unbelievable. So great effort. Embarrassing for the Warriors, but great effort by the Cronulla Sharks. But then when they came off the field, you know, you see some players. Dale Finucane started at the Canterbury Bulldogs, then went to Melbourne for many years, won premierships there, and he's come to Cronulla. And Nico Hines out wide has probably changed the Sharks, and Dale Finucane's introduced this new professionalism. And Fox got him after, no, Channel 9 got him after the game, just before the news started at 6 o'clock, okay, and did a little interview. I went, I've never heard Dale Finucane speak. And then I did.
Surprisingly, everyone was really upbeat. As I said, like, we had to show resilience for 60 minutes of that game. And, you know, I think Craig just inspired us to live for each other. And
okay, that's enough. We've heard enough of
Dale. We got an idea.
I mean, oh, right.
He cop a whack in the throat. Is that how he always sounds?
That's apparently how he always sounds. All sport is good for you. We know that. To get out movement and purpose
exercise.
You need in your life. Exercise, lift the heart rate.
Focused
but
energy.
What is rugby league doing to our youth, like Anthony Seibold?
Oh, just really disappointed, mate. Yeah. Embarrassed. I can't toss a
what
about excuses for that.
Brad Thorne?
A couple of years now, there's been some really tight games.
You've got, and then people are going, Brad, sorry. People are going, you've got to tackle a little bit lower. Obviously, everyone's just getting belted in the throat. Darren Lockyer, one of the greats of our game. Did he ever hurt his throat?
Yeah, that was my last game here.
The rugby league laryngitis.
It's league laryngitis, I call it.
Marto and Margo. Triple M Breakfast. They're back tomorrow from 5:30.